So, Boris won. Brexit, here we come. Actually, Brexit is a lot like a Christmas dinner. Half of the family were told that they need to make room for Turkey, so they opted to leave Brussels. After weeks of electioneering with politics coming at us left, right and centre, you may well have been looking forward to a politics-free Christmas. And indeed, what better way of kicking that off than a candlelit carol service? So I'm sorry to have burst that particular bubble with the mention of the B word. In fact, both of the B words, Boris and Brexit. But at some point in my preparations for this evening, probably because of everything that has been happening to us over the last few weeks, I thought it would be a good idea to have an election-themed talk for this evening. Now here we are, this side of Thursday. I'm not so sure about that idea. I'll let you be the judge of that. But in actual fact, the election theme is not just because of what we've been through as a country for the last 6 weeks. Because if you take up your service sheet that you were given and just look back to the first reading that we heard earlier, that's actually the only one printed there, the reading from Isaiah chapter 9. Because what we have there in that reading is God's manifesto for the world. That's our first election-themed point for this talk. God's manifesto for the world. Isaiah, who wrote these words, was an Old Testament prophet. That's like a spokesman for God. And speaking 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, he announced God's plan for the world through the birth of his son. If you thought the last 6 weeks felt like a long time, how about getting your manifesto out 700 years before your candidate was even born? The manifesto part runs from verses 2 to 5, and unlike our modern political party manifestos, this has just got four promises, but they're big ones. Have a look at me at the first one in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There's the first promise that God makes to us through Isaiah. They're beautiful, evocative words. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. They wash over us Christmas by Christmas. But if you stop and think about what is actually on offer here, it is a staggering promise. Walking in darkness is being used here as a metaphor for the human condition. But as we know, walking in darkness is difficult. It can even be dangerous. You can very easily get lost and stumble and fall. Some of us know that in life, have experienced that. Some of us are blissfully unaware of that. Here, what God offers people like us, whether we realize we need it or not, is the promise of light. Light to see by, light to live by, light that enables us to live well in this world. And even for those who don't think they need a light to live by, who have their own light, there is a shadow that falls across all of our lives that we do need help with. Verse 2 again. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Death casts its shadow over every one of us. I've got something for that, says God in his first manifesto promise. Darkness to light, even the shadow of death. Here's the second promise. Fear to joy. Look with me at verse 3. Isaiah says, "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. You get the message. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Back there, back then, Isaiah goes for national security, a plentiful food supply, and the spoils of victory. He was speaking their language. Here in Fulham at Christmas time, we might go for the joy that comes from what? Being in for our crucial Amazon delivery, which is all of our Christmas shopping in one hit. Grabbing the last Christmas turkey from Waitrose at closing time on Christmas Eve. Or finding that elusive, perfect present that we give to someone else for them to give to us. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Joy is what is on offer from God at Christmas. That deep lurking fear that we have of failure, of perhaps not quite measuring up, of life being a disappointment, being replaced by a deep abiding joy in something beyond ourselves, something bigger than ourselves, and more important than we are. Darkness to light, fear to joy, the third manifesto promise God offers, slavery to freedom. Have a look with me again, back at our reading, verse 4. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Again, back there, back then, Isaiah goes for a well-known victory over one of Israel's enemies. Midian had burdened and oppressed and beaten down God's people. Well, in truth, there are many things that can do that to us today. The burden of expectation. The bar being raised a little too high at work. The oppression of always having to have the best or be the best. You've heard of FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, this year on Black Friday, many of us were gripped by FOBO, fear of a better offer being had by someone else on a different website to the one we were on. More seriously, probably more devastating than FOBO, many people in this city experience the slavery that comes from addiction, to drink, to drugs, to work, to you name it. I offer you, says God, in this manifesto promise, freedom from slavery. And then fourthly, war turns to peace. Have a look at verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 9. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. It's all over. And the clear up has begun. All the tools, all the weapons of war that have caused so much suffering and destruction being destroyed themselves for good. Isn't that a promise that our world desperately needs to hear in Syria, in Hong Kong, in Crimea, in Myanmar? Isn't that a promise we desperately need for our own lives? Peace with ourselves, peace within our families, maybe even peace with God himself. There's God's manifesto for the world. It was first published 2,700 years ago, but it's bang up to date. Light, joy, freedom, peace. Who's going to disagree with those? Who's not interested in what God has to offer? But more importantly, who is going to deliver on a manifesto like that? And this is where Isaiah wants to turn our attention from the manifesto to the candidate who will deliver on God's promise. Here's the next election theme for us this evening. Look with me at verse 6 of our reading. Again, familiar words to many. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If ever there was a candidate who might be able to deliver on these sorts of promises, it must be this one. The birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate 2,000 years ago. Light, joy, freedom, peace. Now that might seem like a tall order for a baby, but you will know if you've had one that babies, especially, in fact, newborn babies, may appear weak and helpless, but in fact, they are incredibly powerful. They have the power to instill fear and joy in their parents in equal measure. They have the power to turn their parents' worlds upside down, to exhaust them to the point of madness, but then to wake them from the sleep of death with a cry. They also have the power to heal broken marriages and relationships, the power to reunite divided families, the power to make perfect strangers that you meet in the park by the swings lifelong friends. But it's not just the power of a baby that this child has to deliver this manifesto. Look at the titles that Isaiah gives him in verse 6. Wonderful Counselor, not in the non-directive therapeutic way, but here is someone whose wisdom, whose clear insight will help us make sense of life. Mighty God, born as a real human being at a real point in history, in a real place, Bethlehem, but with the power of God to effect real change in this world and in our lives. Everlasting Father. To be sure, that is a confusing name to give a newborn baby, especially one born as the Son of God. But it's a name that speaks of an ability to care and protect those who belong to him forever. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, someone who stands for peace, but someone who has the executive power and authority to usher in peace. Here is a figure you might legitimately expect to live up to the claim of verse 7, if you look, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Which begs the obvious question, why hasn't he accomplished this? If the zeal of the Lord Almighty is behind this, why hasn't it happened? And that's where we turn to the next point in our election theme for this evening, the reality checker. There have been, haven't there, so many lies and overclaims and fake facts from all sides in this election that the BBC reality check team have been working flat out. Is this just another example of that? It's been over 2,000 years since this child was born to Mary in a stable in Bethlehem, since this child was given by God to the world. But we still live in a world of violence and oppression and war. We still live in a world of darkness and slavery and death. If Jesus Christ is the child that Isaiah speaks of, if he really does have the power of God within him to deliver on God's manifesto to the world, why hasn't he? It's not just the obvious question. It's a question that deserves an answer. And to get that answer, I'd like you to turn, if you would, to your copy of Matthew's Gospel. You would have found it on your seat. It now might be under the seat, or you may still, in fact, be sitting on it. And to turn in Matthew's Gospel to page 7. Let me read for us those words that Matthew records. You may recognize some of them already. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew was one of Jesus' first followers. He wrote this account, of the life of Jesus. And you can see here, he's quoting directly from the reading we had from Isaiah. And he gives us here our answer to our question. It comes in the last verse I read, verse 17. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The key to experiencing the light and the joy and the freedom and the peace that Jesus claims to bring into this world is in one word that he uses, the word repent. It doesn't sound like a word that would unlock all those good things, does it? It sounds like a word that will only heap on the misery. It's a word that doesn't mean perhaps what we think it means, to feel guilty, to feel bad about oneself. It simply means to turn around, to say, maybe for the first time in our lives, to Jesus, "I was wrong and you were right." To say to the wonderful counselor, "I want to live by the wisdom that you have to offer, not my own." To say to the mighty God, "You have the power to change me." To say to the everlasting Father, "I entrust my life into your everlasting protection and care, both in this life and in the life to come." To say to the Prince of Peace, "You alone can bring me peace with myself, with others, with God." Every person who has ever done that, and there are many here I know this evening, every person who has ever turned around, repented, has found that Jesus Christ can and does deliver God's manifesto into your life. Through this unlikely, un-Christmas-like word, repent, through his son who was given, this child who was born, many have found that all of God's enormous promises can be true for them. My prayer is, if that is not yet you, that this Christmas you would make exactly that discovery too. That this Christmas, you too would turn around and repent.